pour into them and hit every crevice. And Father, I pray that chains will be broken today, blind eyes will be open, hearts will receive. I pray that the anointing oil of God will pour over and soothe every hurting, burning area. And Father, I thank you for your anointing that destroys every yoke of bondage. Father, show us a side of you we have never seen. Let us hear something about you we have never heard. And I thank you, Lord, for signs following your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, I got input. Today our theme is light and life, right? Now, can you think of two words more scarier than that for someone who is an enemy to light and an enemy to life? Can anybody think about who that person might be? The devil. Think about it. He hates light and he is death. So our theme for Our Lady's Tea is something Satan hates. I love it. I didn't realize that until last night. But light and life, and both of them come from God. It can come from nowhere else. There's a lot of fake, but the real stuff is only from God. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. You probably don't have your Bibles here because you're coming to tea. But I want to show you some things in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3. But Les is going to put up the scriptures for you, so it's real easy. I'll think you're all looking at me, but you're really, really reading the scripture. It makes me feel better. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3. And God said, let there be light. And what happened? Imagine that. God said it. And what happened? It happened. Now think about it. If you read Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God prepared, formed, fashioned, and created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form. It was an empty waste, and darkness was upon the face of the very deep. The Spirit of God was moving. He was hovering over the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. Now, let me say something here. Where was the Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's another term of saying Holy Spirit. So this says that the Holy Spirit was hovering over what? All the stuff that was out of order, dark, and had no shape because it was formless, right? I'll take some, Mr. Mike. And the Holy Spirit was hovering, but did anything happen? Did anything change? And you know, the Bible doesn't tell us how long the earth was in this form. But what changed? What caused the Holy Spirit to move? Verse 3. God spoke. And he said, let there be light. The first thing God did to solve a problem, and wouldn't you say this was a big problem? I'd say it was a pretty big problem. Was he spoke light. So let's examine a dark room. Think about a dark room. You go into a dark room, and if you just came out of light and you go into a dark room, what happens? You're blind. You can't see a thing. But here's the other thing. If you're in a dark room and you were just voted the number one organizer in the world, you got an award. You got the award so big you had to have a whole table just for it. And you became the expert organizer of organizers. And they said that now here's your biggest challenge ever. You need to organize this room. And they put you in a room with no windows and no light. And it is dark. Wouldn't you say that organizer might miss a few things, if not all? Wouldn't you say there might be a bunch of mismatched stuff because colors get distorted? Wouldn't you say that they might mistake, you know, a book for something else? Wouldn't you say that? All because what was missing? Light. When we don't have God's light working in our life, the most thing we're the most expert on becomes limited. Having yourself surrounded by darkness automatically gives you limits. It handicaps you. What things are developed in a dark room? Think of old-time films. Negatives. Negatives are always developed in a dark room. How many people, if you know folks, I'm not saying you were, but let's just talk about your friends for a minute. Your friends that walk through depression. What's the worst thing you could do to them? Walk in the bedroom, pull back the covers, and open the windows. Won't you say? What are they not wanting to see? The light. Because for some reason, when things are hidden in the dark, it makes it okay. It feels better. When in fact, all it's doing is it's sucking the life out of you. So here we have God spoke, and he said, let there be light. If you read on in the passage, he actually put lights everywhere. Read in Genesis 1, because I took up all my time talking about other things. I don't have time to read all that now, but listen. He put the brighter light, the greater light, because he created sun and he created the moon. Don't they both produce light? Right? So he took the greater light, put it to rule the day, and he took the lesser light and put it to rule the night. You see, the night can't even function if there's not even just a little glimmer of light there. Have you ever heard stories where people have gone into like a cave or something and it's totally, totally black? Like there's no light coming in. How long do you think they want to stay in there? Especially you got stuff flying around, you're not sure what it is. Of course, I only see those stories. You'll never find me in those stories. Probably Dr. Ron Charles probably have been in those stories. But the thing is, nobody wants to stay long in the dark if there's no hope ever of light. Think about your own homes. I don't know the state of your home. You do. But let's say you're living in a very negative environment. Don't you just rejoice when you get to leave? And maybe you put up with it because you know there's a little bit of light. You know where to find light. But let's say you didn't. What would that be like? That's where we get a lot of this suicide stuff happening. You cannot want to kill yourself if you have light shining on you, would you? It would expose some stuff, wouldn't it? Ladies, you got to talk to me because I'll keep asking you questions. Now, I want to read down a little bit more. Let's keep going, and I want to show you something. Okay, verse 9. And God said, let the waters under the heavens, verse 9, this is how it says in the Amplified, let the waters in the heavens be gathered together into one place, and this says collected into one place of standing, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. So I want you to get this picture. The earth was overtaken by water. It was all over. Water took over the whole place. Now, have you ever worked with water? If I pour water into a square bowl, what shape would the water be? Square. If I put it in a round bowl, it's going to be round. Water will take over whatever it's in. If it doesn't have a controller, it will take over, right? So who controlled the water? God did. What did he control it with? He's still talking. God didn't take a hand to do a thing yet. He is still using his mouth. You know what I saw when I'm reading this? I'm going, oh, oh. 1 o'clock in the morning. God took charge of putting things in order with his mouth before he started creating things with his hands. And that's how the life that he created could actually live. How many of you have situations in your life where you keep doing the same thing over and over and it keeps getting bad? Did it again, this problem started, Anybody like that? Well, I got an answer for you. It's all in the mouth. It's all in your mouth. If you just take Genesis chapter 1, I'm giving you this stuff to take home and do because I really want to pray for you, so I'm not going to talk too long. Because here's the other thing. When I'm going to explain a little bit about praying for you because everybody's like freaking out. Oh my God, you're going to pray. What does that mean? When you get prayed for by somebody who who's God's instrument, you know, and they decide they want to pray for you and God decides he wants to work through them, a lot of things that would take you a long time to figure out or a long time to do, it could happen real fast because you get God's power hooking up with it. You got what I'm saying? But first, your will needs to say yes to the thing. So I'm teaching you something new. Once you say, yes, I want more light in my life, guess what follows light? Life. Because read verse 10. Let's keep reading. God called the dry land earth, and the accumulated waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good, and he approved it. And God said, look at verse 11. Then God said, let the earth put forth tender vegetation or plants, yielding seed, and fruit trees yielding fruit, whose seed is in itself, each according to its kind, upon the earth, and it was so. Then the next verse, the earth brought forth. Do you see what God had to do? He had to take the thing, which in this case was water, that was out of control and covered everywhere. It covered up the dry land. While water covered up the dry land, it could not produce its vegetation that was already in it to be produced. Did God plant any seeds? It didn't say, and then God got out his little pouch of his newly created seeds and he walked around and he started throwing seeds. No. This whole time, did God move a finger? He just moved them two things right here. He moved his mouth. Look what happened. The heaven and the earth went back into order, because if you keep reading, the firmament, like the sky was on earth. Could you imagine this chaos? Sky had fallen down. Heaven had fallen down to earth. Everything was black, all mixed up. Water was like, woo. Now, if there's moving water, is there sound? Yes. What does moving, you ever go by the sea, what does it sound like? It's a bunch of splashing and carrying on. If you've ever read Revelation chapter 4, Les, could you find the verse in Revelation 4 that talks about the water being like a sea of glass? Okay. Think about what the water looks like in heaven. It ain't that out of order. Think about what is shining on the water in heaven. Who's on the throne? Who is light? Where there is light, there is order. So God literally took the out of control water and told it where to go. And then he told the earth, now I want you to bring forth your vegetation to yield what was in you the whole time. And in that thing that's coming up, it already has a seed to produce more. You understand? Now, if the earth under the water had been growing its stuff, who gets the benefit of that? You know, at the bottom of the ocean, I'm sure there's plants growing. But can you get food out of it? No. You got to get a show like The Deadliest Catch or something. And then hopefully you'll be alive with the catch. I just don't get that, you know. But hey, I'm a girl. You know, here's a break for you while you're thinking those heavy thoughts. Pastor Doug and I came across a show called Duck Dynasty. Here we go. Did anybody ever see that show? Oh my goodness, you gotta look it up. It is the most hilarious thing I've ever seen in my whole life. It's called Duck Dynasty. It's a reality show that's comedy. I have never in my life laughed so hard. We were talking about it the next day so much that Gabriel was in the car going, that thing must have had some effect on you too, because I have never heard you talk about any TV show ever. like you're talking about Duck Dynasty. Because the way the guys talk are so nonchalant, and their accent, you know, was so hilarious that we were just laughing so hard. Catch myself together. But the thing about it is that they were doing things, and you could tell that the producers were making it a comedy show. It could have been a drama, you know, like they had stuff sold that they wouldn't have approved of selling, but instead of making it a drama scene, it became a comedy scene, you know, so they're laughing about it. But the thing about it is, in their life, they took something that was already theirs, it was just who they are, and they made a big TV show out of it. And I thought, wow, they're having fun. And they're actually solving family problems on TV. You know, you don't argue too much over that. Problem gets solved, and they go away. But that was a side note. The thing about this is, when God said, things happened, right? Do you believe God believed what he was saying? I'm just asking. Now, we all know that further in Genesis, God created us, right? He created Adam and Eve, which means humans. And when he created Adam and Eve, he did something that he didn't do to any other thing. Does anybody know what he did? He breathed his life into Adam. And Adam became a living being. And when he was creating Adam, though, he informed Jesus and the Holy Spirit. He said, let us make man in our image. So we know that we are a three-part being too, right? We're spirit, soul, and body. Anybody not agree with that? We're spirit, soul, and body. And many times you find that you go to church all the time. You're like, well, I'm a Christian. I've been to church for 25 years, but you're still having issues in different areas of your life. Here's what I would ask you to do. Take a look at each part of you. Take a look at your spirit. Take a look at your soul. And take a look at your body. Now here's, you're like, well, how do I do that? I'd love to take a look. When you need to know what's going on with your physical body, you want to see inside, where would you go? A doctor, and they have the machine, you know, the x-ray machine. They'll tell you, you know, there's what. Well, where do we go? For spiritual matters, we go where? We go to God. We go to his word. We go to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can give us answers for our own bodies and can give us answers for our own souls. You know the verse that says, brethren, I wish above all things that you would prosper, even as your soul prospers. So that tells me I should have something going on with my soul that is prospering it. You hear that? Now, anybody have a problem with the word prosperity and prospering? If you do, put it aside for a minute and listen to what I have to say. Would you say that when God spoke to the land, which didn't have any produce on it before, and it started springing up with trees and life, and all, this was a moment success, not an overnight success. This was a moment success. He said it, and there it was. Wouldn't that be prosperity? The fact that light even showed up, wasn't that prosperity? It's a higher level than where you were before. So if you have thoughts in your head that prosperity is wrong or bad, you are holding yourself back into a dark place. Just all by yourself. Nobody even has to do anything to you. You're just doing it all by yourself. Well, let me give you a little clue. Don't ever hold yourself back. You got enough people to do that for you. What are some hold me back thoughts? Shout them out. That you'll fail. I can't. I'm shy. Not good enough. People will think badly of you. Yeah, they can have that, but you know, somehow I have a leak. If I were to get that, it'll just flow right out of me. You know, I forgot to tell the world I came defective. God put a little hole in me because I was so special. He whispered that if you ever got any achievement, I will just drain it out of you. I got a little hole in you and it just drips right out. Doesn't that sound silly now when you say it out loud? Do you think God whispered, "Let there be light"? Do you know the best way to arrest a thief is to be really loud and to tell them you're in charge? I was in Guyana. I grew up in Guyana, South America, and I came here when I was like 17 or 18. I remember one time I was coming home from school. I was already graduated from high school. I was about 15 years old. I was going to secretary school because that's what girls do over there. Oh, they go learn how to be a secretary. Well, I was the worst secretary you've ever met. I still am today. To take meeting notes is hilarious. You don't want me to take the minutes at a meeting. And those are all secretarial duties, you know, to do short. They were teaching you a new language to write. I just couldn't believe the shorthand stuff. And I would sit there and look at the teacher, and she would look at me like I was in, you know, I was just being rude. But I would be like, you want me to learn this whole new language just so I could write faster to go type a letter? I said, this was when they still had the mechanical typewriter things. I said, couldn't somebody come up with something where you just talk it and I go back and listen to it? And I, like, why do I have to learn this whole new language? I just wasn't getting it. And because I couldn't get it, I was so awful at the shorthand. I was leaving out dots. And do they even do shorthand anymore? I think that's obsolete. That's like Morse. I don't know. It's like Hebrew and Greek to me. I was like, I'm sorry. Miss Sadie, thank you, Jesus. She knows how to. And then the other thing is, nobody could read it, so you couldn't get help. You have to do all the work yourself because nobody else knew shorthand. This wasn't working for me. So, what was I saying before all that? The thief. So I was going home from class one day. And so I was going along the side of the road, and they have these market vendors. Have you ever been to Jamaica and all those places? That's what Guyana's like. You know, they have all the vendors inside the road. So they have this thing they call choke and rob, where they supposedly choke your neck and then rob you. That's the term. So I'm walking down, and I got my briefcase thing open, and I'm about to buy something, and in my briefcase is all this money, because I was working for part-time, so I had all this cash. I didn't know what to do with my money, so I just buy stuff. So I open the bag, and I'm buying something, and this guy comes up behind me, and he puts, I guess it was his finger, I'm assuming it's his finger. It still comforts me to think it was his finger, not a real knife. And so he has this thing, you know, in the side of my back, and goes, if you don't give me your money, you know what I could do with you? And I don't know what he was whispering. He's like whispering in my ears, like some love note. So I open the bag and go, if you don't move from behind me, I'm going to do something to you. I don't know what I was going to do. But I just yelled real loud what I was going to do. And then I just didn't hear anything anymore. I didn't feel anything anymore. I turned around, they were gone. And the vendor was like, because they saw them and they, you know, they knew what was happening. And apparently it happens a lot and people just do what. But the only reason why we do what somebody else pressures us to do is because we're in fear. You understand? So whatever you were afraid of now gets power over you. If God had come on the scene and was so scared of the dark, he's like, Jesus, Holy Spirit, I just don't know. This is a tough one. We've created a lot, but this is just big. This is like mass chaos here. Whew. What would have happened? Nothing. God would say, let's try this. Let's try it. One, two. Come on. Come on, guys. You're with me. Come on. Let there be. Come on. Come on. What should we ask for first? What should we do? What should we do? Light. Let's try light. Nothing happened. See, I told you it won't work. How many people do that? They're like, let me try this. And you go, well, see, I knew it won't work. Well, then why even bother? Because you got your belief. You got the results of what you believed, right? God could do what he did because he was light. So he spoke out of himself, and out of himself came what he was. So if you want to have out of you come what you want to happen, you got to first put it in you. And where's the best source to get the freshest, most potent thing? God and His Word, right? The way I look at it is God does not penalize us for plagiarizing. Actually, He would hope that we would, so we stop misquoting Him, right? You know, it just, how many people misquote God and they're so serious about it? Like, you know, God is punishing me and you get away from me. He gave me this sickness. I'm thinking, boy, we serving two different gods, because I won't be serving a God that gets me sick when He wants to get my attention. Because I'm already all over the place. You know how many times I'll have to be sick just for Him to talk to me? You know, to get my attention, you got to, like, get my attention. God doesn't bring sickness as one of His tools. You understand? Look at what just God's mouth can do. Why would He need to bring a disease in to show His power? Is that the Revelation verse? Do you see that verse? And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. In the midst of the throne and around about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind them. Don't even let that scare you, because could you imagine? But do you see what the water looks like in heaven? Here's my question. What image do you have in your mind about life? What have you decided is okay? God could have come on the scene and said, you know what, it's okay if we, you know, so heaven and earth mixed up, eventually it's going to happen, I guess, you know, we're going to have the New Jerusalem and all that. I know the plan. Let's just leave it like it is. We don't have any people here yet, so we don't need to have that much vegetation. Let's just do a little bit, just for two people. Julie's laughing because I always tell her, oh, we're going to have 100 people. Okay, could you prepare for 200, please? It's like, okay. If your mindset is always just to prepare for where you are, guess where you're going to be in 10 years? Right where you are. God's mind only knows one math formula. Does anybody know what it is? Multiplication, honey. He allows us to do addition and all that just so we can get to multiplication. Like, when are you going to learn multiplication? Multiplicate, your cells multiply. Do they add? They don't add. Your cells multiply, right? A tree, you plant one flower, what happens? You get one seed, how many? You don't get like one, you know, a papaya tree. You take a papaya seed, you plant it. How many papayas? Well, we only planted one seed. Now, don't expect any more. Just go out there and make sure we got our one papaya. And inside of that papaya, there should only be one seed. Because we only planted one seed. How, you're laughing, but how many of you think that way about your own life? I didn't do enough, so I shouldn't expect any more because that would just be greedy. Do you know how much I expect without lifting a hand? A lot, my sister. Oh, it was my sister I didn't introduce. My sister Grace, she looks like me, so, except she's thinner and cuter. But she looks just like me. We went to Guyana together on a trip, and I forgot who it was. It was some relative, somebody that came by the house to see us. We hadn't seen for a while, and kept looking at her, saying how gorgeous she was. She looks just like her mother. And then he turns to me and says, you look like your dad. I thought, in all my years of growing up with her, nobody's ever said who was prettier, but finally he has the... But I chalked it all up to that she needed to hear that in that visit. I was confident as it was. It worked out. But that was the first time I actually ever heard somebody verbalize it, you know? I would never think of it, but somebody did it for us. I have some notes. Okay. Here's my question. You know, you always say, where's God? I don't know if you always say that, but I hear it a lot. Like, where was God when this happened? What happened? God is everywhere, right? But he's not every, you know, he's not everything, but he is everywhere. Let's not get our beliefs mixed up here, you know. God's the tree, God's the house, God, no. God is God, and he is everywhere. And he moves at his word. He made it so easy. You don't even have to figure out what to say. If you just say what he says, he will move at it. The Holy Spirit was present in all that chaos, but nothing happened. Nothing changed because nobody spoke. Now, I know that you ladies don't not speak. If I find a woman that don't speak, boy, she might not speak in one atmosphere, but you get her in her comfort zone, and guess what she'll be doing? Yeah. But the problem is, if the devil can take your mouth and make you say things to cause decrease in your life, then he's done with that. He, you know, you're a project that's finished. He don't have to worry about you anymore. You'll just kill yourself all by yourself. You have the opportunity with your own mouth to say what you want to see happen. And it's based on where you are, so everybody's different. Does anybody want to shout out what they want to see happen? The brave person in the room. Pastors come together in unity. So if Shirley goes around yapping about how bad the pastors are to each other and they're blah, 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 how much of that's going to happen? Zero, right? So the fact that she wants to see that happen, what's she going to have to speak? The pastors come together in unity and find out where God agrees with it. There's this book I came across called Let Us Pray, and those of you who know me have already heard me tell you about it. I think we have some of the books, or I don't know. It's $3 or something. This changed my prayer life. Oh, you wouldn't even believe it. Because when you pray, sometimes you pray, okay, God, I want to do your will, and I submit to your will, but we forget one part. There's three parts to it. The third part is, I reject Satan's will. See, if we don't reject somebody else's will from interfering with our will, that person's will always be an issue. You see what I'm saying? Because we never really rejected it. We still have it on the table. So it becomes a negotiation factor. But if we take God's word and we line it up with, make our wills line up to his word, what should happen? Things should be better, right? Now let me ask you this question. If the darkness could talk, if the waters could speak, and the land could have spoken, and all these things that got moved around. Because think about what happened when creation occurred. You talk about the Big Bang Theory. I think there was more than just a bang happening. Think about water moving around, earth going this way, light showing up, all this stuff. But if all these things had a voice, don't you think they would be screaming? Wouldn't they be like, leave me alone, what are you touching me for? Wouldn't they? As out of order as they were, they would still be screaming. Why? Because they were so cozy right where they were. They were very comfortable. The land had forgotten what it was like to bring forth its vegetation. It just held it all in. The water forgot what it was like to be controlled. So it just, whatever, I'll just do whatever I want. Darkness forgot what it was like to be accountable. So it just took over. Because didn't God put the moon over the night to rule it? Right? God gave these situations in life a leader, somebody in charge of it. So here's my question. Who is in charge of watching over the chaos that can happen in life, in your life? Deuteronomy 30:19 says, I call heaven and earth this day as a witness against you. And it says, I set before you life and death. I would that you choose life. Right? But all these parameters that God did, what God did in Genesis 1, you know what he really did? Was he set up accountability. But he still left our choices up to us. So for everybody that's waiting for God to just zap them, God, would you just take, God, just take this from me. Please, God. He says, the last time I checked, your mouth worked really well yesterday. And we have to use this thing. This mouth could produce life, or it could produce death. Because the power of life is where? The power of life and death is in the tongue. And where does the tongue get its information? Where's the reservoir for where the tongue dips out of? The heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's not out of what's in the bottom of the heart. It's what's at the most top of the heart. So you know that hurt that you're still talking about from 20 years ago? That's not buried deep inside, honey. It's like cream at the top. It's not buried deep. The stuff that's buried deep doesn't come out so quick. It's the stuff that's most in your heart, because it's out of the abundance of the heart, the thing that's the most in the heart, that's what your mouth picks up on. Your mouth doesn't pick up on the stale stuff. It picks up on the fresh stuff. Would you like to have stale milk? Mm-mm. Well, your heart, your tongue spiritually is the same way naturally. Do you see what I'm saying? So the stuff you keep alive in your refrigerator, you know, you babysit. Like, oh, I got this pain. I better get a babysitter for it because I'm going to church today. I can't take it with me. I got to leave it with a babysitter. So what do you store in your heart? That's what will decide if you're going to speak life or if you're going to speak death to yourself. And many times we say, if it wasn't for this person, our life would be this way. If it wasn't for this person. And to some extent, yeah. But you know, the majority of what is where is it coming from? It's coming right from home. It's coming right from inside. I deal with a lot of women, and the number one thing I have to do, what do you think the number one thing women have? Starts with an I. Well, honey, they got lots of issues. Insecurity, inferiority. Insecure. You know why women are insecure? That's the word most put. Because our number one thing that we really like to have is security. It's to feel like we're secure. So whenever anything is off kilter, you end up feeling insecure. You know, I was saying I lost 30 pounds last year or the year before. I don't remember when. But I was telling about, you know, how happy I was that I lost 30 pounds. And I was thinking about it. I go, you know, but it didn't do anything for my self-esteem because I was already pretty, I felt pretty good about myself to begin with. And I was saying that to a lady. She was laughing like it was being proud. And I thought, honey, if you don't feel good about yourself unless you lose 5 pounds, then there's something majorly wrong here. It's not the way we look that should make us feel good about ourselves. Do you see what I'm saying? It's what's stored in the heart. Because I know a lot of skinny women that are insecure too, because I've talked to both. I know how to dress up my fat real good. Smile the whole time. This is me. You know what I'm saying? If I don't like me, why would I be mad at you for not liking me? Think about this for a minute, ladies. And then I have you come and you say, this person doesn't like me. Well, then the first question is, do you like you? Well, no, I think I'm. Well, then we have just found an answer. The Bible says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Right? It says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And I always joke and say, there are some people I don't want to love me because they don't like themselves. they treated me the way they treat themselves, I'd be in big trouble. You have to learn how to take, here's my homework for you. Ready for homework? Get a piece of paper when you go home tonight. You must start with a blank sheet of paper. I don't want anything else to influence you. And write down the things that you know you're really good at, but you were just scared to show other people, or you thought other people would think you're bad at it. But you know inside you're really good at it. If they give me an opportunity, I could really make that better. I want you to write the thing down. Then you're going to pray over it. You're going to say, Lord, this is what I see about me, and it's so good, but that's not good enough. I want to see what you see about me. And then you start writing again what the Lord says about you. So now we have the question of people are like, well, I don't know how God talks to me. Listen, the devil will never tell you you're pretty. He sure ain't going to tell you you're good at anything. And he's always going to tell you you have to do more. You hear me? So if those words come up, you know it's like interference. But use, and then take that information. And here's the next one. You say, God, I give the Holy Spirit access to train me on how to use all this for your glory. That's the key. Because you could have a whole lot of potential and no productivity. You could have zero fruitfulness. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to leave Earth knowing that I didn't affect anybody else but my two kids and my husband. They're great and all, but do you know what I'm saying? There should be other people that when my name is heard, it's because they say it like, wow, my life was changed because she showed up. How many people run when they see you? Well, here's the question. Are they running because you will correct or you will make things right? Or are they running because they're tired of hearing all about them? Don't worry about sharing stuff that you're going through, because if any place is a hopeful place, it's when you get together in the house of God, okay? And if you're sharing and you're taking back information to solve a problem, that's a whole different story, so don't be condemned about that. But if you are comfortable in the water covering up your earth, then I'm not the person you need to be hanging around with, because you're going to get really mad real fast. But if you're the person that's the land and you're going, I got vegetation in me that needs to come up and this water just keeps covering over me, then guess who's waiting to hear something? The Holy Spirit. And he's just waiting to hear a familiar voice. And you know what words those are? The one from creation. The words that God would say. So if you got a house full of darkness, what are you going to speak? Light. Walk in your house today and go, I proclaim light in this environment. You know what I'm saying? And here's what you're going to see. Now you got to be ready to see it. You're going to see the chaos. And then you start saying, I call water, separate yourself. I call land, separate yourself. I call vegetation, come up. I speak in my house that we're fruitful and we multiply. And it ain't just talking about having babies. We're talking that every person's purpose is comes out of them. And they produce. So stop living for just your house. Because when you take care of your house, when you speak over your house, everywhere your house goes, seeds start falling. Right? Amen. A lot of people have seed fallen, but it's not the seed they want to reap from. They get the call, Mom, I'm in jail. Unless it's like when you're in Egypt and they lock you up for preaching the gospel, there's no other jail call you should be getting. Do you see what I'm saying? But those are all seeds, folks. And we're producing them. So we're not like not doing anything. We are doing something, but when you don't actively get involved, things happen. Do you think there was active life happening when formlessness was happening? No. There was death all around, wasn't there? And then God spoke and life happened. Did you learn something today? I have a lot more, but we're not going to talk about any of that. So you see this verse, Deuteronomy 30:19? I want you to know that today, right today, now in this moment, heaven and earth are witnesses against what we choose to do, life or death. So you have a presentation today. You got life present, and you have the option to go back to death, which is what it was. Then I'm glad you enjoy the food and everything, but that's all you get for today. But if you decide to choose life, then there's more. Amen? So how many want more? I want more. And so what I want to do is, because we don't have room up here. Well, maybe we do. No, we don't. I want to pray for you if you want me to pray for you. I don't want to pray for you if you don't want me to pray for you, because that would just be a waste of your time and mine. But I believe that when I pray for you, that the Holy Spirit will speak to you what you need to hear. And he'll give you solutions for questions that you have been asking for answers. And I want you to receive. You don't have to figure it all out. You just need to receive. Do we know how to receive? I know how to receive a gift. Boy, I love getting gifts. Amen? So, Les, if you would play, I forgot what the first song is I have on there. I don't even know. But Shekinah would be the one I'd like you to play first. And those of you who pray, do we have anybody that pray that speaks in tongues? If you pray in tongues, just let me see your hands if you pray in tongues. If you do that, I'd like you to do that as we start here. But we're going to call on the Holy Spirit. Amen? And here's what I'd like to do. If you are sick and you'd like me to pray for you for healing, I'd like you to stand right where you are, and I'll come to you at your seat to pray for your healing. And then for everybody else that would like prayer, just for your life. You know, sometimes you feel like something's stuck on you. Like everywhere you go, people see it and they don't see you. Well, wouldn't you like it to come off? Well, that can happen today. Do you believe? Yes. Amen. You're all staring at me like I'm talking Hebrew. But I believe in the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is here. And when he takes care of business, it's oil. It's like oil. It's just lubricated. It's free. It's not like this disjointed rubbing. And so I believe that today we can have his presence here. So go ahead and play that, Les. Shekinah. It's called Shekinah. What do I have as first song on the playlist? Ah! Let's play that song. It's going to jazz things up a bit. It's a little dry in here. All right. Are you ready for some life, ladies? Thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you for your life in the house today. We thank you, Lord, for freedom. We thank you, Father, that we can call upon you. And because of what Jesus has done, that he can set us free. We receive in this atmosphere today, Lord, we receive the life of God. We receive the freedom of God. We plead the blood of Jesus to cover us and saturate us, just like the water took over, Father. We ask that the blood of Jesus will take over and get into every crevice and every part. And Father, we just speak. We just speak to the atmosphere. And we say that, Holy Spirit, we receive from you. We ask the Holy Spirit to move. And right now, I speak light into the atmosphere. I speak life into the atmosphere. I speak that things are moving around. Things are shifting. I speak to everything that is out of order in our bodies, in our lives, in our homes, that it be set in order. Father, I ask that your angels will be dispatched as we're here. Before we get home, Father, stuff will start happening. Lord, I speak right now to mindsets. that have been tricked into thinking that such and such should happen and things should go this way. Father, we break all those mindsets. I break every timer. I break every bomb that's been set. We dismantle and we detach the plan of the enemy. And Father, we speak freedom to every lady here. We speak freedom to every person at the sound of my voice. And we say the chains are being loosed. We thank you, Father, that bad habits are coming back under control. And everything that's out of order will come back into order. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for your anointing that's present. We thank you, Father, for healing. We thank you that Jesus already paid the price for healing. And so we receive from your healing power today, Father. We thank you for your healing anointing in the house, Lord. Oh, we give you praise and honor and glory. If you need healing in your body, I want you to stand right where you are and I'll come to you. We thank you, Father, for your healing anointing. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your healing anointing. Thank you, Father, that you are the healer. We thank you, Lord, that you are the healer. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We pray over Mary Ann right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that everything that the enemy had stolen from her will be restored. Father, I pray that you'll put words in her mouth that are from you. Father, I speak that your anointing will destroy every yoke of bondage that's been put on her. And I free her in this moment. I free her to be exactly who you call her to be and for the purpose you put her on this earth for. Father, we speak freedom to her now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for healing, Father. We thank you for your healing power. Thank you, Lord, for your healing power. You know, cancer is a thief. And it's time for the thief to leave. So, Father, we speak to this body. And we say that every cancerous cell that's multiplying, it has now been given an order to stop. And we speak to every life-giving cell to be strengthened. And we speak to this body that the anointing of God will flow and get into every part like water and like wine and like oil. Father, let it flow in her now. We speak to this body from the head to the toe and we speak healing, healing, healing. We speak the blood of Jesus. We call forth life. We speak, Father, that light will shine in her and eradicate every dark, hidden place. We speak a good report in the name of Jesus. The babysitting days of cancer is over, and we call a healthy body forth in the name of Jesus. No more babying, no more money being paid for cancer. We call forth every penny back into the kingdom of God. We call forth every penny back to life. And we speak a complete healing in the name of Jesus. We destroy every yoke. We destroy every channel. We speak to every system in this body that it will flow. It will operate. We speak to the brain that it gives out the proper commands in the name of Jesus. Every organ must listen to the sound of heaven. And we speak perfect pitch in every organ. We speak a letting go of every cell. We speak that every cell will release everything. Everything that's been held up, every hurt and every pain must go now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for healing. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for healing. Thank you for your healing power in this body. We thank you, Lord, that every part is set straight. We thank you, Father, that you straighten up the crooked places. We thank you, Lord, that everything that she's been told that's not right, Father, you will correct. We speak life. Life in the name of Jesus. We speak life, Lord. Oh, we thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for healing. Thank you, Father, for your healing power. Lord, we thank you for healing. If you pray, pray with me. Don't let me do all the work. Come on, ladies, let's use our mouths and we pray, Father. We pray healing in the house. We pray healing in this house. We speak that your anointing destroys every yoke of bondage. We thank you, Father, that everything is straightened out. Everything is straightened out.